All right, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. We are in the midst of looking at the story of Lazarus and his resurrection, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And there's a lot of backstory. We've looked at verses 1 through 16, understanding the ways of Jesus and how he works in people, and the focus that of being, he desires to be glorified. So he will do things, and he will do things in certain ways that he will be glorified. And he does this for people. Jesus is concerned, loves, is ministered to, came to this earth for people. Now, we're going to pick up the account in verse 17. I just want to remind you that in verse 17, what we're seeing is Jesus is coming from across the Jordan River where he had been, about a two-day journey away from Bethany. And just a reminder, Martha sends a messenger to Jesus from Bethany to across the Jordan where Jesus is. That's 2 days. Lazarus dies just after Jesus receives this message. And his response is sent back to Martha in verse 4, where he says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And then days 3 and 4, the messenger returns to Martha from Jesus. And Jesus is said to have waited 2 more days where he was. And then by the time that the messenger arrives back, reports to Martha, Jesus then leaves for Bethany, and he arrives somewhere around on day 6, if you're counting. He arrives in Bethany, and verse 17 tells us that when Jesus came into the region, Lazarus had laid in the grave 4 days. Lazarus had been in the grave already for 4 days. Now, as we're going to see later, that 4 days plays a key role in this miracle. And I believe, again, Jesus is seeking to be glorified. And so, therefore, he is going to make an emphasis. It's going to be a clear statement. These 4 days is very clear, because we know that the Jewish people understood that his body would have begun to decompose and start to smell. That is a part of the decaying process. And it is amazing how quickly our bodies will decay. If the temperatures are right and there is no embalming or nothing, our bodies begin to decay very, very quickly. And so 4 days, Lazarus has lain in the grave. Verse 18. Now, Bethany was nigh or near unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. It's about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, this is all John's kind of setting the stage, giving us backstory for the events that are going to be taking place. Jesus is not yet in Bethany. He's out on the outskirts. Bethany is about 2 miles from Jerusalem, so John is just setting the scene that there are Jews that can travel from Jerusalem to Bethany. It's not too big of a deal, 2 miles. And so they have made that journey to Bethany to be with Mary and Martha. Jewish practice for mourning a death, would there be people that would come and they would just weep together and cry together. And that was the way that they went through this time of grieving. And so the Jews would have been those people that would have come and sat with Mary and Martha. Verse 20. I'm going to read several verses here, and I want you to make note of Martha tonight. Tonight we're going to look pretty specifically at Martha, Lazarus' sister. And I want you to make note of her character and her faith tonight. I'm going to start in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come unto the world. Now I'm going to stop there. Mary and Martha are two characters that we should be somewhat familiar with. Probably the most popular story that we know of them is the account of where Jesus goes into their home. And that is found in Luke. In Luke chapter 10. And in that account, we know that we find Mary. Where do we find Mary? She's sitting. It's very interesting here. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Here we see Mary is sitting in the house mourning her brother. Who's not sitting? Martha. Martha is not. It's interesting here that the personality character traits seem to kind of come out. I don't know if that was John's intent, but it seems to. He seems to make that clear. Martha is not sitting. In fact, she receives word that Jesus indeed is coming. He's finally coming. And so she leaves the mourning, the party of people that are mourning. She leaves them and goes out to the outskirts of town and meets Jesus there. So, Martha's first comment to the Lord Jesus, in verse 21, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Now, before we get too harsh or look down upon Martha, this indeed was the first statement that Mary says to Jesus in this same story, as we'll see later when Mary goes to meet with Jesus. This is just the true reality of emotion that has filled these ladies' hearts as they have lost a brother. He has died. And he's been in the grave 4 days. And so, of course, as the longer that he's in the grave, their hope is probably diminishing that Jesus would do something. And so their question is, Jesus, Martha's question, Jesus, if you've been here, my brother would not have died. Now that should say a little bit about their relationship and what their understanding of Jesus is or was. Their relationship is pretty close in that they could speak pretty forthrightly with one another, honestly, from the core, this is how I'm feeling. And Jesus, we know you can heal people. We have seen you do that. Because let's remember, Mary and Martha are disciples of Jesus. In other words, they're followers. I firmly believe that they were believers, and that will be emphasized here. They have embraced Jesus as the Messiah. And so they believe that he is able to heal. If you would have been here, you could have healed. You didn't meet our expectations, Jesus. We expected you to do something, but you didn't do it. That should remind us of something that we often do, huh? We often will have expectations for God. Expectations of physical healing, relief from pain, expectations of certain time frames or certain relationships. And we have these expectations that we build up in our own selves and we place them upon God. And if they don't happen, we can question God, don't we? Now, God is big enough, he can handle those questions. It's not like he's intimidated by them. But I think there is something to learn here in that what are our expectations? And let us allow our expectations to be that of what we know to be true of God. Verse 22, Martha continues, and she says, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to you." Again, you're seeing a faith arise from this dear woman. And I want to remind you, this dear woman is suffering and grieving over the loss of her brother. Her expressions of faith here in this story are heroic. Because she is in the depths of despair. She has lost a family member forever in her mind to death. And so therefore, her expressions of faith speak loudly of what she believes. She believes that Jesus, whatever he asks of God, God's going to give it to him. Now, what does that tell you about her belief of Jesus? Her faith in him? You've got the connection. Whatever you say, God does. Now, what's this all based upon? Her past experience of life following Jesus in his ministry. And when Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000, he fed the 5,000. When Jesus wanted to heal a blind man who had been blind from birth, he healed the blind man. You see, Jesus had that connection with God. Indeed, he is God. And we're going to see, I believe, that Mary understood that. And even by this statement, I believe she is pointing to his deity. You ask of God something, you get it. Well, Jesus, hearing all of this, and being friends with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, his response to her is, in verse 23, Jesus says unto her, "Your brother shall rise again." Now, think about receiving that kind of message. Your brother shall rise again. That probably was not a surprise from Jesus. As far as Martha was concerned, she probably wasn't surprised by his response. In fact, we know what she said in verse 24. She said, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So, of course, Martha, I guess I said before that she was afraid she wouldn't see him forever. I guess it's probably not true. She was afraid she wouldn't ever see him on this earth again. She would have to wait till the final judgment. The final judgment, that final day, in order to see her brother again. And of course, she's just like you and I. We enjoy the people that God has put into our lives. And we don't like to be away from them. And we desire to have those relationships. And so, here is, in verse 25 and 26, a very powerful statement from Jesus. Because, of course, he sees that Martha, she's embracing a belief in the resurrection, that indeed Lazarus will rise and live again, but it won't be until a judgment day. And Jesus, he wants to make something very clear here. This is one of the I am statements that we find in the book of John. There are several I am statements. Some of them, "I am the bread of life," "I am the light of the world." And here in this passage you see, "I am the resurrection and the life." I am the resurrection and the life. I am the author, the cause. I am the resurrection. Resurrection happens because of me. I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection comes first because the resurrection is what ushers in this life that Jesus has so often talked about up to this point in this gospel. He is the giver of life. Just a couple cross-references on that matter. Turn back to John chapter 5. In John chapter 5 and verse 28, we read Jesus' statements here, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." This speaking of the resurrection at the end in the judgment day. As you look at Jesus' statements in the Gospel of John, go back to John chapter 6, verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." And then further down in that chapter, John chapter 6, John writes, "I am the bread of life," verse 48. "I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven," verse 51 of chapter 6. "If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Of course, we've read in John chapter 10, in verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus is the giver of life. Now, as we're talking about life here and death, let's remember that what I believe is taking place here is Jesus is talking about eternal death and eternal life. Eternal death out of eternal separation from God. Eternal life is eternity with God forever and ever. If you're a believer here tonight, your eternal life has already begun. You're present. You're with God. God is with you, and that you are going to be with Him forever. And Jesus says in verse back to John chapter 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Notice the emphasis there on belief. And speaking of even if someone has already died, yet in Christ, he shall live. And then verse 26, "And whosoever liveth," somebody has not died yet, "and believeth in me, they shall never die." What is Jesus saying? You believe in me, you've got life. You've got life. He's not saying that you won't ever experience physical death. What he is saying is, you've got eternal life. And his question is to Martha, do you believe this? Do you embrace this to be true? Is your life built upon this truth? And then verse 27, Martha says to him, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." What is she saying there? This is a very profound confession. I want you to look at the different parts of it. I want you to look that she says, "I believe that you are the Christ." That term Christ, again, you've heard me say this before, the term Christ, anointed one. It's the Greek form of Messiah from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament speaking of, there's a promised one who will come. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that. And so what Martha is saying, as a Jew, she is testifying, I believe you are God's chosen one, anointed one. But then she also says, you are the Christ, the Son of God. So not only am I saying that you are the anointed one, I am saying that you are God's Son. You are of God. You are God. You are the Son of God. And then she says, which should come into the world. And this is what is so special about the gospel, dear ones, is that the gospel is personal, and the fact that our God has come into this world, into our domain, and it has abode here on this earth for some 33 years, has come here sent by God, God's chosen, anointed one, God in flesh, has come and was sent to this world. Now this one that was sent, he is the resurrection and the life. And as we go from this place tonight, I want to encourage you to meditate on that thought. To meditate on the thought that Jesus is the giver of life. Resurrection happens because of him. Resurrection happens because Jesus himself arose from the grave. And what we're going to see in this account of Lazarus is him indeed rising again. Why is this so significant? Because Jesus has just said, I am the resurrection and the life. And there's a man in the grave 4 days. And Jesus proves himself to be true. I am the resurrection. This man will live because of me and my words, and he has life. I also want you to think about Martha's statements, and I want you to think about how she has expressed her faith. You know, she's not the only one that expressed faith like this. In Matthew chapter 16, in verse 16, we read these words from Peter. Matthew 16:16, in response to Jesus' question, but whom say you that I am? Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now I want to just remind you, Martha's situation, she was mourning the loss of her brother. Death was staring her in the face. And yet she said a very same statement. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God. Peter here also says the same thing. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 69. This is another cross-reference to that same passage of Peter where he says, verse 68, and Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Notice that John and the gospel writers are including these expressions of faith, these affirmations of who God is, who Jesus is. And notice that they are speaking both of Christ, the Anointed One. They're emphasizing the fact that he is the one that God has put his finger on and chosen to use and to work. And they're speaking of him as the Son of God. The one who is of God, the one who is God. Now, in closing, it should be no surprise to us that we have this account of Lazarus' resurrection in John's Gospel. And that is because we know John's intent in writing. Because in John chapter 20, in verse 31, it says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, you might have life through his name. And we're seeing from Martha's testimony, she believed. and she is trusting in him for life. And Jesus is expressing, I am the resurrection and the life. John wrote some epistles to the churches, and the end of 1 John, that first letter, chapter 5, and I've shared this passage with you before, but I'm going to read it again to close out our evening. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Jesus is the giver of life. Indeed, in John chapter 1, it says, "In him was life, and he was the light of men." Just for encouragement tonight, Jesus is the life giver. There is resurrection. There is eternal life. And we can take Jesus' words to the bank. We can trust in his words. Because not only did he himself raise Lazarus from the grave, but he arose from the grave himself. Lord, I thank you for our time together tonight, and just rejoice in the fellowship and the time that we can share the word. Thank you for encouraging us about life, eternal life. Thank you for just continuing to reveal your Son, Jesus Christ, to us more and more. I pray for your people as they go from this place that they would know your presence. I pray that they would choose things that are excellent. I pray that, Lord, they would be a blessing to those with whom they come in contact. I ask that you would put a hedge of protection around each one of us, that you would keep us from evil. I pray, Lord, that we would be salt and light. In Jesus' name, amen.